Rappin' with Reef Bum is sponsored by Polo Reef, Champion Lighting and Supply, and Polyp Lab.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Rappin' with Reef Bum. I am your host, Keith Burklehammer. So on tonight's live stream, I welcome back Joe Muscat, who's also known as Tusi on the Reef discussion boards, and Tusi Coral Reef on Instagram. What's going on there, Joe?
All right, man. Thank you for having me again, Keith. I mean, I think this is the third time.
Yeah.
I think, what, a year and a half ago passed since last we spoke?
Maybe a little over. I think I had you on last September. It might have been September or something like that.
So, yeah, a year ago. I can't believe how fast time flies. But it's always a pleasure to being on your show. I always enjoy talking reefs. And, it's always good stuff. So,
Well, I enjoy having you on, man. And I look forward to digging in a little bit in terms of your system and what's going on with that. I think there is a lot going on with that. But for those that don't know, Joe's incredible tank has been on. He's been the Reef to Reef Tank of the Month a couple of times. The tank was also featured on Worldwide Corals on YouTube, as well as Moki's Inappropriate Reefers YouTube channel. And the tank, I remember this, Joe, we were talking about this, was also featured in the September-October 2023 edition of Coral Magazine. But before we start chatting with Joe, I want to take care of some business and thank the sponsors of this show. My sponsors are really important because they make this show possible with their support, and that means a lot because I want to keep bringing on awesome guests to help foster the learning environment on the show. Polo Reef, make sure to check out Polo Reef's new YouTube video that drops this Friday. Part two of the VIP behind-the-scenes walkthrough goes deeper into the sub-basement where the filtration for the 17,000-gallon aquarium lives. Interesting topics along the way with a look at the total dissolved gas issues that was causing Popeye and some fish. Make sure to subscribe to their YouTube channel at Polo Reef for video drop notifications. You might be in that video there, Joe. Is that the case? I don't know, man.
I tried to run away from the cameras because I hate the cameras. So.
Joe also works for Polo Reef and you've been caught a few times on the camera there, Joe. I mean, yeah, and I like watching you, so don't run away.
They surprised me with it, and I have no choice, you know. But it's the second part, you know, with Jonathan. No one is better than Jonathan explaining, because he is the guy who built the Polo Reef and all of that. I mean, I've been working there now for over a year, and every day I'm amazed how he built this, and the thinking that went, and the plumbing and the piping and the spacing, and it's just like, I call it the eighth wonder of the world, and I'm not lying. It should be the eighth wonder of the world.
I was there last year. I saw it firsthand, man.
Yeah. But when you're there, it's like when you go to visit, it's so difficult. Like what happened to me the first time I went to see Andrew's tank and met Andrew for the first time, you get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, you get overwhelmed. It's like you're a kid in a candy store, like so much to see. And you want to try to not miss anything. And you miss a lot, you know, because there's so much, too much. You need to spend a week there looking, and you still miss stuff. That's how many, and now since, I started working there to now, I mean, we're like so many more tanks, so many more water, so many more corals, so many things going on and more coming. I mean, it's just an amazing experience. I mean, it's like I could not have asked for a better dream.
A dream job for every reefer.
Yeah, it's, believe me, I'm living the dream. I mean, I enjoy it. And it goes to everybody, you know, the group, the guys that work there, if it's Yelson, Don, you know, Max, you know, I work a lot with Jonathan because we're trying to get the 2500 fully operational. We're getting close because that will be the next big thing. But yeah, it's a lot going on. That's for sure.
So let me finish thanking my sponsors here, and then we'll dig into a whole bunch of stuff. And people, feel free to drop your comments and questions in the chat, and we'll try to get to them. I also want to thank Champion Lighting and Supply. Besides being a place for hobbyists to purchase saltwater aquarium supplies online, Champion Lighting is also a wholesale distributor for many popular brands. If you own an aquarium store or an aquarium service company, contact Champion Lighting through their website at championlighting.com to set up a wholesale account. Polyp Lab is another supporter of this live stream. They do their part by being ecologically responsible, using less plastic and more recyclable material. ReefRoids is backed by science and uses 100% ocean-sourced ingredients. No filler, no OGM, no gimmick. Polyp Lab, straight results. The best choice for your marine collection. See the ReefRoids difference for yourself. So, all right, Joe, man. So I mentioned that I was able to visit Polar Reef last September, but I was also able to visit you and see this incredible tank. Let me thank Chelly Carter Timby for that super chat. Thank you so much. Hi, Keith and Joe. Don't forget to hit that like button. Appreciate that. So it's Joe put together a quick video here. So I'm gonna run the video while we talk, Joe. And man, it looks just as spectacular as when I saw it about a year ago. Yet you told me before we got on the live stream that you did some major restructuring or pruning about 6 months ago.
Yeah, I had to because. And I'm still not finished because the corals get way too big and you start losing corals, you know, who's shading who is attacking who, and the flow, and it becomes a mushmash after a while. So I took out a couple of big colonies I had in the middle of the tank and created kind of like, and another thing, which is a topic I want to hit on, which is something I'm trying. And the reason why I did it is that, look, we all love to have a beautiful tank with corals at different levels. And the problem is that...
Joe, your phone slipped down a little bit. So you're now you go. All right.
So you need flow, right? So now you got flow blowing through the coral, blowing underneath the coral, blowing. And, you know, I truly believe that Acropora release toxins in terms, not toxins, you know, some, you know, warfare, you know, if it's slime, if it's a slimier coral than another, over another coral, where I think at some point it damages other corals or it stunts the growth on other corals. You know, like when you go to... you know, some pet stores, for an example, and they're growing, never mind pet stores. Let's say your grow out tank, right? It's a big one level tank, you know, 10 inches, 12 inches high. You have everything on a grade and corals do better. Why? Because the flow is washing one even flow from one end to the other, you know, versus in the tank, you're pushing flow underneath the top, all over the place. And this time I said I wanted to create more of a equal level, one surface on the top, you know, where I wanted to see how that's going to perform the next year and a half. I mean, I do my tank, I redo it more like most of the time, a year and a half to 2 years max, because everything overgrows.
And when you say redo, what's your definition of a redo?
Pull out all the corals, like especially the bigger ones, take the smaller ones, you know, siphon all the detritus in the rock and dead skeletons, remove everything, clean it up, and then, you know, install back, you know, either milling colonies from your colonies or frags that you had in your grow out tank that you wanted to introduce into your tank, but you had no space, you know, kind of like change it a little, you know, change it up a little bit. Now, I don't redo the actual structure. I never touch the structure.
So the rock is staying.
Yeah, you know, the rocks get. Yeah, you know, that's the same. I have so many sponges growing.
It's a kick-ass skate too.
Yeah, I mean, it loses the design a little bit as the tank grows older because it kind of like fills up.
Yeah.
But again, I guess that's the success you want to have. It's, you know, otherwise, you know, you're going to look at the same looking corals, same size. It's not, you're getting nowhere.
Right.
So that was another reason why I wanted to try this, where if you look at the, you know, previous pictures or videos of the tank I had a lot of tables higher up and, you know, stags here and there and were, you know, different levels where you're creating more shade, you know, in a sense. So this time around, it's kind of like more flat across the top. Like, it's almost like the ocean. When you look at the ocean and the corals, they're like one level. You know,
I do the same thing, man. You know, when I redid my peninsula tank, I had a number of tabling acros, and one in particular, the TSA Bill Murray, just tabled big time and just covered like the whole one side of the tank. Yeah. And, you know, so it's like, you kind of like learn in terms of what corals are tabling corals. I mean, yeah, maybe you do buy a frag that specifically, you know, is a tabling acro and you stick it in there, but maybe you just don't realize that it's the growth pattern. It's going to be what it is. And it starts encroaching and covering all that stuff. But I kind of like use that as, I use that intelligence to rescape, you know, so I don't want to put those tables at the top anymore, so to speak. I mean, tables probably should be in the upper half of the tank, but, you know, if you could get away to put them like midway down, then that's a good thing. But I think it's cool to be able to grow a mature tank, learn how the corals are growing in that tank, and then rejiggering things based on that knowledge.
Right. I mean, exactly. And some corals grow a lot faster than others.
Yes.
I mean, you take the looms, you know, like the rainbow loom. I mean, you could start a frag in 6 months. I guarantee you, you'll have a 10-inch colony, you know, if everything, you know, element-wise and water and chemistry is correct. They grow so fast that if you, you know, in the video, you'll see that on the left side of the tank, I still have a loom and the creamsicle, which, again, they're getting way too big, you know. So at some point, they got to come out. And, you know, that will be the next section because that left side, I didn't do much with it. I did not want to stun, you know, the whole tank at once, you know, especially with then trying to maintain alkalinity properly, you know, everything goes into shock and then you're going to have up and down. So that's another thing that you got to keep in mind when you're redoing a tank, that you don't get the swings, especially, you know, if you have a custom reactor dripping at a rate, or regardless, if you have a dozer and you're dripping X amount of mels every day, you're pulling corals out as you're redoing the tank and you're still dripping the same, you're going to have a swing like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And as we all know, I mean, you could swing maybe something else, but not alkalinity. I mean, I truly believe that is the key to success. So.
Yeah, it is a very delicate equilibrium. There's a lot of things in, you know, at play, and there's a lot of things that we just don't know. I mean, I recently took out a 50-gallon frag tank on one of my systems, and I also pulled my cryptic sump, you know, out of the system. So I just subtracted 100 gallons of system water out of a 446 gallon system. So that was like a big decrease in terms of the water volume, you know, and I was able to kind of take a lot of the corals in the 50 gallon frag tank, put them in the 75 gallon frag tank, which was also plumbed into that system. But I just kind of like winged it, man. I, you know, it was just in terms of trace element dosing and doing the calcium reactor and the Kogwasser and maintaining the DKH. I kind of like winged it. I mean, there wasn't a real science behind it in terms of that transition. So I think there's a lot of unknowns that, you know, you can get very precise and you can get very, and, you know, utilize the data and all that sort of thing to try to like make the best guess and make the best decisions. But a lot of it also is kind of like gut.
I mean, when you really think about it, right, this hobby, there are a lot of variables. It's not one tank equals all tanks. You know, I've been actually writing different variables of every tank that I could think of to try to create a formula in a sense. But, you know, it's also your experience kicks in being in the hobby. But there's always that, what we call the newbie mistake. It doesn't matter how experienced you are. You miss something, you forget something, and that's what comes and kills everything, or kills your best and most favorable acro that you had in the thing. And you say, why the hell did I do that? Mm-hmm. And every time I got myself in trouble, it's always a stupid mistake that I don't know how I do it. So including myself, that I've been in the hobby all these years, I do every now and then make those mistakes. So, you read about this, if it's on social media or reef to reef and kids starting out or people in the hobby and you hear them, I crashed the tank, this, that, and the other. It happens to all of us. But, you try not to make them. I redid it, I cleaned it, and then I decided to get rid of the calcium reactor, where it was getting way too small for my tank, even though it's rated for double the size of my tank. But again,
what calcium reactor is this again?
My calcium reactor was a Vertex, was from when they were making them, because they don't make them anymore. I mean, this is how old it is.
I still have like an MTC, MRC, calcium, dual chamber calcium reactor. Remember that guy that was making equipment in New Jersey? Maybe you don't know that company.
I don't know him.
You probably know the calcium reactor if I showed you a picture of it. But anyway, go ahead.
I had another one that I played back and forth, but I like this one better because it had the extra chambers where you could put FosGuard in the smaller chambers. So this way, as the effluent comes through it, it removes any phosphate that the media can have. But again, it was rated for like 300 gallon. My tank is only 180, but it's not the gallonage, it's the corals. How much corals, how many animals you have is basically what you need. And Pete, I was running the effluent out, not by drops. I mean, it was like a stream. So the CO2 that was going into my tank, maintaining pH was becoming harder and harder. And I was also dosing Kalkwasser to kick a little pH, including a tube from my skimmer. I mean, I've done everything.
Yeah.
And after a while, I said, I'm tired of this battle. And then a friend of mine introduced me to this company in Germany, Modern Reef. And I said, I wanted to give it a shot. And they sent me a four-part system to try it. And I knew what I was getting into.
So let me ask you a quick question there, Joe. Why not go to some traditional two-part like ESV or some other, type of alkalinity, calcium, magnesium type of supplementation? What got you looking outside of the traditional players?
Because I like to make it difficult for myself. I always like, ESV would have been the easiest for me. Bob Starks is a very good friend of mine.
He's right in your backyard too, right?
Yeah, and he would give me the stuff for very good discounted price. But I know what his stuff does. I want to try something more different, if there is anything different. Not I'm saying this is better or it's going to be better, because I've just started using it. So that's the reason why, which I knew I was getting myself in trouble, because here it is now, I'm importing the stuff from so far away, and it cost me so much more money than if I picked up, ESV. But after speaking to the owner for, a few hours on WhatsApp, and explaining the formula and how many years it took him to formulate this, this is an even balanced consumption system. So you're not, what I call it, it's almost like it's a system for a beginner, you know, where you can almost can go wrong. You know, you're dosing four equal parts. If so, if you're maintaining one level, which is your alkalinity. So your alkalinity, you want it at 7.7. You maintain 7.7. And if your tank is taking 100 mLs, then basically it's 100 mLs for calcium, 100 mLs for magnesium, 100 mLs for the second alkalinity, because it's two parts of alkalinity, not one. And in all of those liquids, you have all the trace elements. And basically, and that's it. You can't go wrong because you're not thinking, you know, chasing numbers. So my calcium is high, my magnesium is low. You're maintaining one thing, alkalinity. And let me tell you, I've used it now for a month, and the levels are incredible. My pH, since I took my calcium reactor, I mean, it's like almost high.
So what was your pH range before, you know, with the calcium reactor and Kalkwasser? What was it now?
The most I was getting was like 8.2.
Really? With the calcium reactor and with the Kalkwasser?
Yeah, because I was dumping so much CO2. You know, yes, I could have bought a bigger calcium reactor, but then I'm also, you know, dosing trace elements. And
you're doing the moonshiners, you know, right?
No, I was doing the Tropic Marine ANK. And you know, every time I send out for an ICP test, I was within the ranges. You know, if you moonshined a little bit zinc or nickel, or it wasn't anything out of the norm. It's not. I was doing, let's say, 10 mLs of A, 10 mLs of K, and you call it a day. But again, now you're dosing elements, like all of them at once. You know, yes, I could have spread it during the day and dosed a little bit at a day to make 10 mLs. But versus this system where it's very concentrated, so you're not doing a gallon like some people might think, you know, a day in a tank like mine with so many acros and the grow out system. I'm only doing 110 mLs a day.
Wow.
You know, I was doing 100 mLs per minute on the calcium reactor.
What, I'm curious, man, what was your calcium levels with the calcium reactor and Kalkwasser?
I kept, it was like always around 440, but then that's another thing. Then you change your media, and if one media could differ from another. And then out of nowhere, your calcium starts to climb up to like 500, right? So now you got to back off, because that's why it's called the calcium reactor. You're supposed to maintain your calcium, not, you know, your alkalinity in a sense. So you're backing off to bring your calcium to the number that you want, but now you're low in alkalinity. Now you start dosing alkalinity.
Right.
So you're doing,
Not as much control.
Right. And that's where you get yourself in trouble. And that's why I got tired of it after a while. Again, when I got cut into calcium reactor back in the day, there were no dosers. You know, there was no automation of dosing and computers. Back in the day, you know, dosers came, you know, later on. And it was, you know, calcium reactor was the best way because you are dripping it 24/7 versus taking a three-part boiling method where you dumped it in a cup all at once at the end of the day when you came home from work. So you had the up and down. But in today's times, you know, technology and the hobby is so far ahead where you got to try other things. And that's when I decided to do it. Now, the pH with this system, but again, I cannot give all the credit to the system either, because now I'm not dumping CO2. So that's going to bring my pH up also. Although I had to stop my Kalkwasser because my pH was hitting 8.7.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had to cut the colliquasar, and now I'm stabilizing it around 8.4, 8.5 during the day. And it's staying 8.2 during the night, which is a big deal.
Were you getting some precipitation with those high calcium levels when you're like going beyond the 440, you know, close to the 500? Did you notice you're getting any precipitations with when you're using?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You'll see the white film, you know, sometimes on the glass even. You know, you clean the glass and it's like you're scraping off, you know, a film of white, you know, from the glass itself. So it was time. I mean, look, I did it for at least 15 years with this reactor, you know, and
you got your money's worth.
It did its job. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
How do you make that kind of transition, man? I mean, that's a hard thing to yank the calcium reactor, colliquasar, and do the four part.
I tell you the truth, I was afraid, and it was like I said, you know what? I tested the concentration of the liquid. And I tested the concentration I had coming out of the calcium reactor. I did a little math. I figured, you know what, with this concentration versus that, I'm going to start at 90 mLs per minute.
So again, kind of a gut thing.
Right. And then what I did was, I made my doser do it in 24 hours with 2 mLs per like 10 minutes. So this way it's kind of like continuous in a sense. Now I'm trying to tweak it I haven't figured this out, which happened even with the cosmic reactor. It's like I have the Trident, you know, the Apex testing where at 6 o'clock it tests every 6 hours. At 6 o'clock, my ALK goes down 0.30. And then by midnight, which is the next 6 hours, it goes down another 0.10. And then after midnight to 6, it goes up 0.40, which is the weirdest thing, how it goes down only on those times. During the day, it maintains the number. So I'm trying to figure out maybe dosing more during the day and less at night. I have to, you know, see if I could. You know, not that it's a big swing, but 0.30 could be, you know, it could be something to the animals.
So what about ICP testing? Did you do more of it? I mean, you do, from what I recall, you're doing weekly ICP testing with two ICP test providers, right?
You used to.
You cut that back?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't done an ICP test now probably 3 or 4 months.
Oh, really? You haven't done an ICP?
Yeah.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah. Well, the reason I was doing every week was that I wanted to maintain the tank based on what I was dosing. And I also wanted to ICP test my salt and the mix. So this way I buffer the mix. So when I do a water change, I'm basically putting in as much as possible. You know, some salts are high on manganese, some salts are low on fluoride, some salts are, not every salt is equal.
What are you using again?
So now I switched my salt to Nios. I was a Tropic Marine guy for all the years. So, you know, we had like Christoph over one time at Polo Reef, and I asked him, what salt do you like? Obviously, you know, he does the ICP test on Nios salt. So he said Nios is a very good salt. And he told me that what they were doing to improve their salt. And he says, look, Tropic Marine is also a very good salt. And the Nios bucket comes with a barcode on each bucket, which is an ICP test. So you scan that barcode and you got the whole ICP test of that salt. So now you know what that salt is low on.
Oh, interesting. So you can, and so that's the batch. I mean, basically it's an ICP test for the different batches. So wow.
So that's cool. That's the batch. So now you're starting with a mix that you can buffer, right? If let's say you want your, you know, boron to be at a number and the salt is low, you can buffer that, moonshine your tub, your mix. So when you're doing a water change, you're giving your tank a perfect ICP test water change, let's call it, right? Now, meanwhile, if you're maintaining your tank at 100% ICP test weight, your tank is stable. It's staying stable. You know, if you are moonshining your tank, I mean, you remember when the moonshiners came out, the whole gimmick and trick, because I call it a gimmick, that you don't do water changes.
Right.
So this way you bring your water in your tank perfect and you maintain it. So you don't screw it up with a water change. Because if you do a water change and your water change doesn't have the same levels, you're going to drop some levels at some point. So that's how I do it. And it I haven't sent an ICP test. And I tell you, corals show you.
Yeah.
You know, the corals tell you, you know, something is going on. I'm low on this or I'm low on that. But with this modern reef system, which they have their own ICP machine and testing just for them. They don't, let's say, do, you know, ICP testing for others because it's irrelevant to them, right? They could actually mix you after like four tests. They can make you a mix of elements that you basically just dosed elements into your tank instead of individual ones.
Oh, so based on the ICP testing of your...
On the ICP testing. Wow. It's a customized, you know, machine just for their system because, you know, it's equal consumption, right? So they could do it for you if you choose to. If you want to do, you know, your own, then they tell you what to do.
How long of a... I was going to ask you, how long of a turnaround time is that?
I haven't done it yet. I tell you, I mean, they ship from Germany when I order liquids. It's via UPS. Yes, it's very expensive. But I have the delivery within a week and a half. So there are some ICB test companies that's taking over a week, you know, at least a week to give you the results. Because it's still going to Europe and then, you know, they got to test it and give you the results. So, yes, they're not sending, gallons of liquids. It's a small package, so it probably arrives there faster. But again, you're sending it here in the United States to somebody, and then that somebody is sending it to Europe.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, so there is a lot of time with these. It's like if you are to mail your ICP test like you will be doing, in a sense, to Modern Reef directly to them, you know, it's going to get there quicker than if you send it to the moonshiners, if it's Oceamo or if it's Fauna Marine. You're mailing it somewhere in Texas, and then from Texas it's going to go to Germany or to Austria, right? So this could be quicker than the others.
Is there any trepidation on your part in terms of not doing any ICPs at this point during this transition? Did you think about doing ICP testing to try to get a good handle in terms of, you know, where the tank was before you started Modern Reef and where it's going right now?
I thought about it, but I didn't have the time to wait and this, that. So I figured, you know what, I'm going to do this system for at least a month. I just received actually ICP, you know, kits, test kits. And I'm going to send it out to see with this Modern Reef what I'm going to come up with, you know, what levels are going to be at. I don't expect anything, you know, out of norm because I could tell. And being that, like I said, I'm, you know, my water mix is perfect and the tank was not far from perfect. So it's going to be interesting to see if I see anything different from previous ICP tests when I was doing calcium reactive.
Well, like you said, man, it's all about the corals and observing the corals, and if the corals are happy, then things are good. Was there anything that you were seeing in the corals, signs that perhaps they were not completely happy with the way things were going before you switched to modern reef?
Like I said, there was a lot of shadowing. There was a lot of warfare. There was a lot of, and I started losing stuff, you know, where, you know, some light wasn't penetrating or flow wasn't reaching. And that's also what was, you know, what makes me do these reconstructive, you know, of corals. And I decided to, that's when I decided to, it's done, you know. As far as happiness, of course, corals that were getting the light, and there was nothing wrong with them. I mean, they were fine. This with this modern reef also is that they have these two bottles where it's food for the reef that they create for your tank, and they have what they call polyp pop. Yeah, so you get more polyp extension, and with it you get more yellow colors. So whatever like elements that they couldn't put into your four part, it's in this little bottle. You know, because not every chemical could be mixed together.
Right.
So they also have a top secret. I tried to figure out what it is, but he wouldn't tell me. a bacteria / concoction mix that they have created like 3 years ago, and they have been testing on their own farm. I mean, you got to see their farm. I've seen pictures of tanks, their farm when they started it, to today. Literally in 2 years, you're looking at colonies that are 2 feet across.
Really? Wow.
You know, so, and you dose 0.04% to how many mLs you're doing. You know, so it's based on how many mLs your tank is consuming is the food and this polyp pop. It's not like, you know, one instruction for all. It's based on your consumption. So it's mathematically calculated, and that's what I've been doing. And polyp extension, I'm seeing colors I never seen before. People ask me, how do you get polyp extension like that? And how do I explain, you know?
I'm showing some of your pictures you sent me also, Joe. So my understanding is that there is no U.S. distribution for modern reef, that you're basically, no. You're going through international, you're going through the international, the headquarter, the company's headquarter in Germany. So you're basically dealing with them directly.
I'm dealing with them directly right now. We've spoke about that a little bit. Don't know where it's going to go. I know that they had been in contact with some companies here in the U.S. They definitely want to have a footprint here in the U.S. So I think we will be seeing this product here at some point or another, like other products from Europe.
Yeah.
Just a matter of who's going to pick the line, and I think it could be a good thing. The only thing is that the price range, you know, to enter the market in the U.S., you know, you need to be competitive. For someone to switch over to you, you know, you need to be competitive, and you need to prove that you're better. You know, I don't know that this is better than anything else yet. But I could tell you, and again, I cannot compare it. I cannot, you know, be unfair to compare and say this is the best or better than this or better than that, because I didn't use other companies,
right.
You know?
Right.
So, but for me, I'm seeing a huge difference on my end. Now, if it's the pH being higher, is that making a difference that I didn't have before? And that could also be nothing to do with this system. That could be because I had too much CO2.
So you're getting more growth now.
Yeah, now I'm going to be doing
that's it. Not a good thing, man, with your tank, Joe. Yeah, I mean, you got to like think about
have more
that.
Problems.
You got to think about that. That's kind of like, you know, you're going to have to be redoing your tank every 3 months and every 6 months.
But that's I want to see if that's true. With higher pH, growth is better than lower pH, which when I started out in the hobby, it used to be don't chase the pH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? So at what point will you potentially try to talk Andrew into bringing in Modern Reef to Polo Reef?
I wouldn't do that because I like Bob Stocks too much. You know, he's a good guy. He have a very good product. His product.
Right, Polo Reef's uses a lot of ESV products.
Yeah, and he does it for us at Polo Reef. You know, he mixes certain things, you know, and it will be impossible for Andrew, even if he wanted to, because this stuff is hard to get. Even if it's available here, the amount that we use. I mean, with Bob Starks, we're low on 5 gallon of magnesium. You know, we drive and pick it up from his factory. You know, it's like, where are you going to get that luxury? Yeah. You know what I mean? This is more for a hobbyist, small like me, than somebody like Andrew. It's interesting. Let's put it that way. I just want to say, look, 6 months from now or a year from now, if we speak again, I'll tell you, no, I didn't like it. I changed.
Yeah. That's the beauty of this hobby, man. You can just, right. You can try things, experiment.
If you don't try, you don't succeed. You will not know.
No. All right, we got a couple of questions here from the viewers. And, yeah, folks, feel free to drop more questions into the chat. Matt Masati, how's the Illuminagix X4s, Illuminatic?
I like them. I really do. The corals like them. Now, you know, what this light does and doesn't do, I'm not a technician. I'm not that good when it comes to all the technicalities of this and that, you know. But I tell you, when I was doing my other lights, which were the Radiance, and again, Radiance is a very good light. It had been proven. I met this guy at Reef Palooza, which is, you know, one of the guys at Luma Magic, and he came up to me and we started talking. And he was like, you know, I want you to try them. I ended up having to pay for them, so I don't want the viewers thinking that I got them for free. And that's why I'm bragging, you know, about these lights. I ended up paying for the lights. And he happened to be, you know, a Maltese guy like myself. So we kind of connected, you know, like, all right, well, I got to give this guy, throw him a bone and try it at least. So as I put them on the tank, on the frac tank, I don't know what it is, Keith. Every coral had polyp extension, started getting certain colors that I didn't have before. And corals were really happier than when I was running the radials.
Hmm.
And look, my friend Coralito, which everybody knows what a beautiful tank he have, and he's the guy that beat us all at the top shelf, thing. He's running Luma Magic. His tank is growing. He's doing very well. So that's what I like from it. I can't tell you what it is that I like from it more than another light. All I can tell you is that corals do adjust to these lights a lot better than other lights.
So I'm not familiar with them in terms of I've never used them, but what's the spectrum and how what kind of are these like strip lights, the Illuminagix?
No, it's a square fixture with four clusters. The good thing about having four clusters is also where, for example, you want two clusters to throw more, you know, direct light. The other two clusters, you could change the lens and diffuse the light.
Okay.
So you have a little, you know, or you have a fixture next to a fixture where you're, let's say, growing chalices, or you're growing something that doesn't require the direct light. You know, you want it to be more diffuse, you change the lenses. You know, with other fixtures, you're limited what you could do.
Yeah.
You know, it's one big lens and good luck. Now, you know, I think you're running the GHL, right? Isn't that also four clusters?
Yeah, I'm doing the Mitras. Yeah.
The Mitras. I mean, I think that I still believe that they are probably the best LED lights. Now, a lot of people maybe don't like them because they're a little bulky, and you know, but can you change the lenses on them?
I actually just did change the clusters out. I've been running the Mitras, the LX7206, and they have a new coral pop light that and I changed out the clusters on my 7206 with the coral pop LEDs, and I've been running them. I did that about a month and a half ago, and man, I'm digging them. I mean, there's a little bit more of the blue spectrum, more UVA, and extremely, extremely happy with the new coral pop clusters. You could also buy fixtures as a whole in terms of the entire fixture as a coral pop fixture. So, but yeah, I got the new clusters and swapped them out, and they pack a pretty good punch, because I was told by Vinny at GHL to cut back the intensity by like 20% versus what I had been running them at. So
yeah, I thought about them, but then this came to play, and I put them, on my grower tank. Would I put them on my tank? I don't think I will ever switch from halides.
Still got the halides going?
Yeah. I don't know that I will ever switch. Now, I grant you, you know, you could get certain colors, I believe, with LEDs that you cannot get with halides and vice versa. But I still like that look of the halide. It's too much for me to do the LEDs, and the PAR is different, and you gotta be more careful with LEDs than I worry about like halides. Halides, you could throw 700 PAR and you're gonna kill nothing, you know. There is a lot of other companies. I mean, you know, like we tested some fixtures, you know, like the Refi Uno. I mean, they throw some punch, those little suckers.
Yeah, how much PAR are they generating?
I mean, if you go 100%, I mean, I've seen on PAR meter like 1,700.
Really?
Yeah. I was blown away.
Wow.
So
that would help with the 17,000-gallon tank.
You know, but, and it's a little tiny fixture, and the app is very confusing for me. I'm not a tech guy, so you know, that's not going to work for me. But the adjustment of colors is incredible. You have so many more choices than, let's say, other companies. You have three types of violets that you could use. And what blew my mind was the moonlight. It was like a full moonlight on the ocean. It was
that's
like,
cool, man.
Yeah. But, you know, look, it's price ranges, they're all about the same. So,
you still running a chiller?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't want to experiment a little bit, man, and get away from the halides and maybe not have to run that chiller?
No. I thought about it. What I might do is I might actually keep the halides and add some LED fixtures in between. So I can get maybe other colors, if it's the blue, the violets, and all of the other stuff with what I got. Because, you know, let's face it, the halides, I'm only running them, you know, 4 hours a day. The majority of the 12-hour day that I run lights on my tank is T5s and some XHO Reef Bright strips.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if I was to have a couple of you know, LED fixtures. I could have three fixtures, which wouldn't hurt because it will fill up actually some dead spots, and I can angle them at a certain angle too, to areas where it's a little shaded. And then maybe those come on when the halides go up, you know, to kind of like fill in between a little bit. But I'm debating.
Dude, you gotta.
I'm a little concerned about the heat of the halides.
You gotta try the Mitras, man. I swear, like I was like just like you, man. I was like, I don't want to try any LEDs, and I tried them for my like Peninsula tank, and seriously, Joe, I've never seen better growth in colors. You know, with these,
I've seen your growth in colors, and I believe it. That's why I still believe that Dimitras probably are the best LED lights, my opinion. And I know Vinny told me many times about them. So you know, if I was to switch, probably those will be the fixtures, knowing what you grew, what you're growing, and the success you have. So. Those are definitely proven.
They're coming out with a new model. They're upgrading them. I think it's going to happen next year, is what I've been hearing.
And those fixtures, can you control them individually from the actual fixture itself, if you wanted to?
Meaning,
instead of an app.
Oh yeah, you know, via USB.
Okay.
But, you know, you need a Windows device to do that, and that's the knock on.
Yeah, that's the thing with GHL. I don't know why they haven't.
They're working on that, too, I've been told. They're working on not, you know, because, needing a PC-based tablet or computer.
But. You know, like I'm still running a PC computer with Windows just for their equipment.
Yeah. That's right. You still got like the first gen GHL dozer, right?
First generation,
or Proflux.
Yeah,
Proflux.
I'm still running the first generation. You know, that thing is ancient history. I mean, GHL should send me a new one for free. You know, me advertising their product being so well built. You know, I think it's lasting longer than some of their new equipment, to be honest.
Matt's wondering if you could save your schedule for the Illuminagics on their app so we can download it and check it out. Is that
actually, tell Matt I'm running Carlito's schedule.
Okay.
Illuminagic have Carlito's schedule on their app, and that's what I'm running because I like his colors. I like his growth. I like his so that's what I'm running. I'm running, you know, Carlito.
Paul Graybeard of Reef says you can do parallels on Mac and use Windows. Talking about the GHL. Yeah, I do have Mac devices and all that stuff, but the problem is I can't connect via my Mac to the lights. It's too far away. I got an iMac, so I don't know. It's there are options. There are options.
In the past, I did run parallel when I used to trade. Actually, that's when I ran parallels. But it makes the computer so freaking slow. So for an old computer that I have, if I was doing, you know, like put parallel on it, forget about it. It will be freezing every 10 seconds. So I ended up getting a cheap PC, you know, and just use it for that purpose.
Yeah, I got a cheap PC tablet, which the keyboard crapped out on me. So I was like, damn, I got to buy another freaking.
The only thing I hate with mine is not Wi-Fi. You know, like the GHL, you know, those are computers, not Wi-Fi. So I got to hook up a wire from the computer to my computer, USB to control my lights. Or, I mean, you know, some of the equipment is still on the GHL, some is not. I mean, I got so many different things that I need to at some point clean up because things are all over the place.
I like that word clean up because I'm kind of like in the middle of doing a little cleanup myself in one of my systems. And I'm now that I don't have halides on my display tank and I got rid of one of my 50-gallon frag tanks, I don't run my chiller anymore. So I need to take that out of the it's in line. So it's an inline chiller, and I've got plumbing all hooked up to it. So I need to save a day where I can take. I've got a half horsepower Tradewind chiller. So if anybody out there wants a half horsepower Tradewind chiller, then let me know, because it's probably like 20 years old. I believe it still works, but it's yours for free if you want to come get it.
Yours is outside or?
No.
No, inside. Because I have my chiller is made by Tradewind also. And, you know, recently I had to actually replace it because it was giving me problems. And then it went to the next problem, which was the controller inside. But thank God I had a spare one from a friend of mine, which was exactly the same thing. So the plumbing was like a breeze to switch over, a couple of unions, and you were done, you know. It's a great thing. Without it, I mean, I cannot have halides.
So Frag Farm wants to know about your skimming, and there's a couple questions here. Can you ask Joe about his skimming? What skimmer? What is his thoughts about skimming? And then he followed that up with a question about whether or not over skimming is possible. So talk to us, Joe, about skimming. What are you using, and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, my skimmer is a Bubble King, you know, a Bubble King Mini. It's nothing big. The way I skim is depending on what your nutrient levels are. So if you want a wet skim, if you want to remove more, you know, you adjust, you go back and forth. Which is another thing that I want to bring up and hit this topic a little bit, because there's a lot of things going on about nutrients lately, about studies, and some of it is even going around where, you know, nutrients, you know, especially growing SPSs, you know, the philosophy or theories that we had as little as 7-8 years ago that, you know, everything should be zero and this, that, and the other is really coming to be that was the wrong thing to do.
Right.
The interesting part with modern reef is that their philosophy and theory, and I'm testing it, and I think they're right. You know, nobody knows what your nitrates should be in the tank until you can control your phosphate to where you want to be. So basically the way they do it is that you maintain your phosphate. You know, you're going to do your regimen of feeding and you know, whatever you need to do, skimming and have, you know, they want you to raise nitrates to like 30.
Really? 30?
Yeah. The way they figure is that the higher the nitrates are, they will compress the phosphates to go lower. And I'm seeing it. You know, I'm seeing it where I'm doing nothing to remove besides having an algae reactor. I don't do ROA. I don't do anything.
Well, your corals are doing it, right?
Right. I used to do the Nopox. I used to do, you know, Bacto Balance of Tropic Marine. I cut all of that stuff out, right? And nitrates creeping up and phosphates are maintaining at 002, 005. So, you know, when I was talking to the owner, Akil, he says, you don't know what your nitrate number is until you get your phosphate number that you want. He goes, when you have your phosphate number that you want, check your nitrate. That's the nitrate. Now, if you're skimming too much and you're removing too much, okay, then you need to dose nitrates. And it's so far I'm seeing a huge difference. You know, I mean, I'm getting spurts of growth from corals that were like nothing coming out in a month. I mean, I got like the Jason Fox Barney coral, which is one of my favorites. It's spurting out new tips from this coral all over the place in a month.
Since you started doing the modern reef.
Right. So, so that's another thing. Which, to the question about skimming, skimming should not be, in my opinion, should not be the same 24 hours a day. You know, I've told friends of mine, like starting out, I said, put your skimmer on a timer. You don't even need to skim, you know, and put an air stall for oxygen if you have to, or remove the cup. You know, just let the skimmer run, but remove the cup. Let it overflow in the sump if you have to. Because if you overskim, you're removing too much. While you're removing nitrates, you also remember one thing. You're removing trace elements.
Yeah.
So now, you know, you're that's another variable, right? It's one of the variables in a fish tank. How much are you skimming? How much?
There's a lot of unknowns, too.
Unknowns. So it's amazing. I'm like, if you want to send ICP tests every day on something that you do every other day, I guarantee you that you will see total differences where I wet skimmed on Monday. I did not wet skim on Tuesday. It's endless, you know, it's endless. So I don't wet skim. I basically let my skimmer at a certain level of my sump, and whatever that is, that is. I don't pay attention to it.
Interesting. Question for you about flow, man. You got the closed loop, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a closed loop and a bunch of power heads because it's not enough. It's a peninsula tank. Peninsula tanks suck. You know, I will never do a peninsula. As much as beautiful as it is, I will never do a peninsula tank.
Really?
Just it's too hard. Yeah, it's too hard to, you know, sometimes I feel even the turnover of water from one end to the other, I guarantee you that it's not. If I was to check salinity in my tank at the far right, at the bottom, probably is maybe different than the far left bottom, you know. There's no way that the turnover of water is going to be the same. When water is so far away to the overflow box, you know what I mean? It's the closed loop will help because it's bringing flow from the bottom, yeah. You know, but as nice as they are, they suck as far as trying to maintain flow.
Do you mind sharing that story that you told me when I was at your place a year ago in terms of what happened with the closed loop system, or do you not want to talk about that?
Oh my God, that was the end. That was like it was like the end. I thought it was the end, to be honest with you. I remember I texted Andrew Sandler. I wasn't working for him at the time, and I said to him, "Do you have room for corals?" I said, "Because my tank is leaking." He goes, "You burst a leak?" And I said, "Well, I made the leak." And I never forget that. And I walked out, water is pouring. I went outside and I sat on the back, and my wife said, "What happened?" I said, "My tank is done." What happened was I was pulling my closed loop pump out, and I jiggled to disconnect the union, and I hear a crack, and it was the bulkhead of the closed loop intake to the pump. And water started coming down, and
that's a freaking nightmare.
Yeah. So I'm like, how did you survive that? I'm outside and water is coming out of the basement. I was like, you know what? I'm done. I don't care. You know, I was so mad and angry and broken at the same time. And my son goes, "You build houses for a living. You fix anything. I have not seen you not fix anything." "Well, you can't fix this. So go down there and fix it." And I went in my construction van, and I found this zip wall tape that we use, you know, on the exterior. And this tape, it sticks to anything. I mean, when I tell you it sticks to anything, it sticks to anything. And I had to find something that I could put temporarily to control the water. And I started with that. And then, you know, ran to Home Depot because you can't replace the bulkhead without emptying the tank. How am I going to empty my tank?
How many gallons again?
It's 180 gallons. So I thought about it because I could have emptied the tank and possibly keep 4 inches of water in the tank.
There's going to be a lot of death.
Right. You know, so I went to Home Depot and got a load of marine epoxy and took that black tape out and started brushing this stuff over it and coating it and putting cloth over the epoxy and almost like created like a fiberglass, you know,
resin.
Cover. And I stopped it.
And that's crazy, dude, because the amount of pressure that must have been on that must be on that bulkhead.
Yeah.
And so to this day, that patch job is still there.
It's still holding good.
How can you sleep at night, man, without knowing that one day that thing could like freaking burst open again? Doesn't that drive you to wanna just do another tank?
No, look,
no, you're good.
You know, I mean, listen, I do think, I mean, my tank now is from 2008. So how many years is that?
It's a lot. Almost 20 years
16,
old.
16.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that doesn't, I don't think about that much because that's one hole. You know, I mean, there is four other holes in the bottom of that tank. I do worry about the seams. You know, is this tank gonna like go at any given day? But I look at the silicone and the seams and everything seems fine. I mean, again, who the hell knows, you know?
As long as you're sleeping well at night, that's all that matters.
If I take this tank down, I don't know that I will be able to come back.
Really? You wouldn't want to I mean, Joe, man, come on, you're a very talented reefer. You can easily start a new project and get where you're at, you know, get to where you're at in no time at all.
But it's just like you do it again, you know, you're married to this. It's part of your life for so many years. Mm-hmm. And I don't see me doing a thing different, you know, than it is. Right. So it's like you're starting over.
It's a kick-ass tank.
So I'm praying that as long as I live in this house, that tank stays the way it is because I don't have it in me. And then, you know, I got friends that, oh, you should have an 8-foot tank, you know, a much bigger tank, you know, and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, no, I'm not starting over, buying all the equipment, bigger skimmers, bigger this, bigger that, more lights, more bigger chillers. No, you got to be happy with what you got.
There is something to be said about, you know, not going too big.
Look, my upgrade is Polo Reef. So, you know what? There is every coral that I can imagine there. There is everything you could imagine there. So what am I going to upgrade to more being a Polo Reef?
Day? You got it. It's,
you know what I mean? I barely want to look at my tank when I go.
your tank looks like crap versus the other stuff you're seeing
like
around all day.
Nothing that I have is good enough anymore. You know, you know, so, I mean, that's the beauty about, you know, Polo Reef. Think about it. Like, rare fish, rare of the rarest, rare corals, and exotic of everything. Where are you going to experience that besides a magazine? You know?
Yeah. Rich Colombo says, Tusi, don't make me come there with a bigger tank.
Well, Rich Colombo had a question that he wanted us to talk
about. What's that?
You know, and if I understood him correctly, he is driving. He's a great reefer, by the way. Rich is a good friend of mine, and he could teach us a few things himself.
Jackson's Rainbow Tenuous.
Correct. That was, I think, before the home wrecker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
That was the first Rainbow Tenuous. There was no Rainbow Tenuouses before his, and you know, and he did that.
Yeah.
So he is driven crazy, where he puts two corals, one in a tank, one in another, one under a certain light, one under a certain light, and one grows and one doesn't. And he thinks could be the biome in a tank. I mean, again, the answer to that, where I think it is, again, 10 different variables that could be, that we will never know the answer. Is it the light?
Yeah.
Is it biome, like Rich said? You know, when you talk biome, right, it depends how much surface you have. You know, how much rock you have. Do you have sand bed? You don't have sand bed. These tanks are equally the same. So if they're equally the same, right? So this is the answer. If you have two equal tanks, but only the lights are different, and the coral is growing in one tank and not the other, because the only way to test something like this, for Rich's sake, is to have two tanks on one as one system, one water, right? But the only difference is lighting, which we kind of have at Polo Reef. We have two 280 tanks, 280 gallon each, on one sump, one water, right? But different lighting. And that was the experiment. Like, we see certain growth in the halide that we don't see under the LEDs and the LED strips. But then we see certain color under the LED lights that we don't see under the halides. And that what happened to us with the top shelf competition. Mm. You know, they came from top shelf where they were grown under LEDs.
Right.
So whoever was established, I was never established with an LED type of guy, except the Fractine. So the minute you put them under halides, you're going to stun the corals to go kind of dormant for 6 months. Competition is over in four. Right. So I think it has to do a lot more with lighting than anything else. If it's the same coral, same water, same everything.
Same flow.
If they're two separate tanks, and if you want to think it's biome, then it depends on your tanks. What are the nutrients in both? What is, you know, how much rockscape you have in one versus the other? Do you have sand bed in both? How old are they? Are they the same age? You know, like... now there's a lot of talk about this DOC, you know, which is, again, bringing back nutrients and so on and so forth, where biome could be playing a role in that. There's things that we will never know, you know, or maybe we will know in years to come after a lot of testing, as testing becomes more available to us and a lot quicker. Because, again, like, you know, these companies that check your bacteria and stuff. By the time you send it to them and you get results and test it.
Long lag time.
You know, it's a long time.
Yeah. Corals, man. We haven't talked corals. You and I traded some corals last year. What?
I killed everything.
Oh, no. Really? I still have some of yours.
One of them was Jackson's rainbow, remember?
Yeah, yeah. And the purple monster died too?
Purple monster died. It didn't die. It died recently, actually. Those corals are tough.
They are tough, man. They really are tough.
I'll be honest. I bought like three other purple monsters, and they all died. And Thurston Reef, who have the OGO like yourself, he says, I can't frag this as a quarter inch. I will lose more than 30%. You know, bigger chunks have a better chance, but they really don't. They just take longer to die.
It's interesting you say that because, well, they're notoriously slow, very slow growers, which makes it a tough coral to survive, because there's a lot of things that can happen over time. So I lost my mother colony a number of months ago, but I have I got three chunks left, and so I had backups. But you know, I have two different systems. I lost a mother colony in one system, but I had some frags in that same system. So over the last few months, I've lost all those frags in that one system, but no other coral, no other frags died. It was just that coral, which is really perplexing to me, but it speaks to the difficulty of keeping that coral. So, you know, I have two systems because I like to keep corals backed up in another system, but I'm afraid now to put a purple monster in that backup system or that other system because I don't want to kill it. But can I explain it? No.
They're coming in now.
Yeah,
from the Solomon Islands. They're not the original lineage like yours, they are bringing them in. I do have a colony of it, a wild one. So far, so good. But I've had before too. It does. It holds on, and out of nowhere, it just. And it's funny, it doesn't RTN. It doesn't die like another coral dies, like RTNing. It just, it's almost like the tissue disintegrates. It disintegrates in a way, it's not like when you have RTN, you see it peeling off to a white skeleton. It disintegrates and the skeleton is like brown. It's the weirdest thing. And only on that coral. I've seen this, but it is the. I think again under LED blue lights, I don't think anybody would care for that coral. You need the halides for that coral, and like that's what.
Well,
it shines.
I'm telling you, man. My three. I got a big chunk of peninsula tank under the Mitras, and I've got two large frags in my frag tank plumbed to that system, which are under Mitras. So all my frags, I've got one little nub left in my halides. And so it was in the halide system, on the halide tank, where I lost those frags. Go figure.
Huh. So it wasn't the halide tank that you lost them?
No, I lost a mother colony in the halide tank and like three frags in the halide tank. But and in, you, the LED, you always, in the LED tank, it's fine.
It's fine. And you always grew it? You originally grew it under halides?
Yep. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. It's a tough thing to kind of figure out.
It's a tough coral. I mean, I used to have a colony of it a long time ago. And it was smack on the top under halides. And the thing was, I mean, I used to love the white polyp that used to have. Now they're bringing in purple monster from Australia also.
Really? Oh, okay. Because I know that they were coming in from the Solomon Islands, but from Australia.
Yeah, the Solomon Islands is technically supposed to be the same as what we had, but they're bringing in also from Australia. And Australia doesn't have a white polyp. That's the only difference. It has like a greenish polyp, but it's also very pretty. It's a It does have the same exact structure and look.
Well, I got a bunch of frags from you, and I lost two or three, but I still the granulosa, man, is going strong. I love that freaking.
Oh shoot, you still have it? That's good.
You lost it?
I lost the mother a while ago. Ah. I'm regrowing it. It's doing good. It's a fast grower.
Yeah, it is.
For a granulosa, I think it's one of the fastest granulosas I've ever had. I lost it when I had that incident with the chiller, and I was in Europe when my father passed away. I knew I was going to lose corals because nutrients were all over the place, and then the chiller crapped out, and temperature, and corals were stressed out the 2 weeks I was away, and then everything gave up, and I had a major dead bloom, I call it, where my tank was like milk. I thought I was going to lose the whole tank. I don't know how.
Yeah, it was on the brink.
Yeah. I don't know how the tank didn't crash, but which brings me to believe that the older tanks are, the less you mess with structure and sand and all of this garbage that we talk a lot about sometimes, I think the worse it is. You make let the tank do its thing, maintain it properly, naturally, and the tank builds almost like an immunity in mm-hmm. a sense, you know. And I think that's what saved my tank, you know. I mean, I lost fish because who's going to, you know, survive in that milky water? But I think I lost like 3 or 4 colonies, and after that, everything was fine, you know. So, but I'm glad that you still have the granulosa. So
I still have the rainbow splice. That thing is grown into a nice little chunk. You know, it lost a little color because my phosphates bottomed out in that system, and a lot of my corals and frags did rebound. But that splice is not as vivid coloration as it was before, but it is growing and good polyp extension. I got it in my display tank.
If it's growing and have polyp extension, it's just, it's fine. I mean, you know, maybe lower it, you know, from the light a little bit, give a chance. But as long as it's growing, you know, I've seen him do that, actually. We had one Apollo kind of like did the same thing, and then it came back.
That's what I find, you know, acros to be very resilient. That, you know, I've seen many different, you know, frags or acros or whatnot lose color, fade, and then bounce back. Some don't.
Yeah.
Some don't. It depends on the coral. But I think by and large, I think that if you kind of correct what the issue is, and for me, usually it's just very low phosphates. Boost the phosphates, the things will come back.
Yeah, I mean, phosphates is one thing. Where do you keep your nutrients at, like nitrates?
My nitrates are pretty solid at like 10 parts per million. And phosphates, you know, they're usually like the 0.03 to 0.04 range. I'd like to keep them higher, but it just seems perpetually low.
I mean, look, they want you to keep it. I mean, recommendations of these guys is like 002 to 005. I always found it to be 005 was the best color I've seen.
Yeah.
You know, you go lower than that, you're playing. Because don't forget, you know, every test kit that we test our waters with, it's plus or minus, you know, 5. So you could be at 0.
I know.
In a sense, right? At 5, at 005, you could be at 0.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's why I always liked 5, because if the error is going to be 5, you know, 0.005, I'm at 0. 0 is not horrible. It's still 0. It's not minus 0, right? Or I could be at 0.10, right? Going the other way.
Yeah.
So, when you are at 2, you're 0.02, you're playing a dangerous game. Because that's like alkalinity, right? If you run your tank at 7.0, let's say you run it at 7.5. Okay, I find it to be the best, to be honest with you. And as a matter of fact, Modern Reef, the highest they want you to keep it is at 7.7.
Yeah.
But you only have 0.7 before you go below 7.
That's what scares me about running it between 7 and 8 is like when you get into those 6s, you know, and it happened to me recently. I got into like the 6.6, 6.7 alkalinity. I was like, that's, you know, it's always scary because I was running it 7.5 or something like that. And it dipped.
Right.
And that's the only thing that kind of scares me about running it in that range.
Yeah, I mean, look, if, again, it's a hobby that you need to maintain that number, that alkalinity. Alkalinity is the whole thing, is the heartbeat of the tank. You maintain that properly, you're gonna have success.
Yeah.
The nutrients and all of the other stuff, I mean, phosphate is important for color. Nitrates is important for, you know, the health of the coral. But if your nitrates go up to 30, it's not going to kill things. If your phosphate go up to 30, I guarantee you, you're going to have a problem.
Yes.
So that's the whole idea.
Yeah. So. Let me ask you one more question, and then we'll wrap it up. Did I hear correctly? Are you going to be at the Boston Reefers Society Fragsgiving, or is that not happening?
Yeah, they're dragging me up there, you know. And I'm like, I saw one of the guys this past weekend because we had the Long Island Reef Association frag swap, and I'm like, you better open the door for me on Friday because I am not going to spend 2 days awake and driving 8 hours in one day and do an 8-hour show. I said, you got to be kidding me. So I'm waiting to hear from him because I'll be honest, I was talking with Andrew today and I was like, because he asked me to go to Aquashella with him. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to go to Aquashella. Andrew, the weekend after, I got to go to Connecticut. I mean, how many things I'm going to do? I'm going to have a divorce very soon. If 1 week I'm in Florida, 1 week I'm in Boston.
You got to go to Boston, man. I'm going to be there.
Oh, you're going to be there?
You got to go.
You're going to sell frag?
Yeah,
you're going to sell
yeah.
frag?
I'm going to bring my little frag tag.
Excellent.
Yeah. I was there last time they had it, 2 years ago.
How is the show there? Is it good?
It's a good show. Andrew was there the last time I saw Andrew.
Yeah.
And he spoke and you know.
I think Andrew is coming also.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's a good time, man. Definitely worth your while.
Yeah.
Definitely worth your while.
I mean, it's so long. How many hours drive is it for you?
For me, it's like a short drive, like 3 hours, 3:15 or something like that. You know, so it's not bad.
Well, it's not so short.
Yeah, it's not so short.
It's still a long drive. I mean, you know, for me, it's maybe another hour than you are.
So. Yeah, I'm going to last time I went early in the morning and set up that morning. And that's my plan again this time. It's a little hectic, but
yeah, I'm it an early is riser. Because, you know, it is. But by the time you put the corals, load up the truck, start driving, get there set up, spend the day, and then you got to drive 4 hours home.
It's a long day.
And then you got to put your corals away.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking, you're up 24 hours.
it's a big day.
So, and you work the day before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, yeah, we'll see. I mean, yeah, I'm supposed to be there. Let's put it that way. I'm going to try to.
I'm going to bring a whole bunch of mini colonies because I haven't been selling frags online since the springtime. And I got like,
yeah,
ginormous frags.
listen, that's good. You know, there's always people who want the bigger pieces, you know, than the tiny nubs, you know.
Yeah, no nubs. I'm not bringing any nubs.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, man, Joe, this was always a lot of fun talking with you, man. Any final words before we wrap it?
No, keep reefing. I mean, you know, and don't be afraid to try new things. There is a lot more tools today than
there are.
We had when we started out, and reefing is, in my opinion, is getting easier, not harder. The information that's available, if it's social media on a show like this one, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. So I encourage these young kids that are afraid to get into this hobby because they think it's very difficult. I don't think it is. Yes, it is very expensive. It got a little bit out of hand, but don't go crazy. Just the magic word that I always say, and everybody attack me, is like, keep it simple when everybody says that I don't.
your system is simple. You know, it's just gotta.
You know, it is a system. It's a simple system. When I say keep it simple, is maintain your alkalinity, maintain your nutrients, and feed, and you're gonna be
good
fine.
Lighting, good flow. You know? You're good to go.
Good lighting, good flow, and you're fine. Yeah. I mean, don't try everything everybody else is doing because that's where we all fail. Not everything is equal.
You constant know, tinkering is not a good thing.
You know, Tusi is doing this. Look at the growth he's doing. He switched to modern reef. I'm going to switch to modern. Don't do that. You know, don't do because a person changed, you're going to do what he's doing. I mean, give yourself a chance, continue doing what you're doing, learn it, get the basics, get to the bottom of it, master it, then you could experiment. And you could experiment when your tank is more established. I mean, and that's another thing. It's like, you know, what is an established tank? I mean, people cycle a tank 4 months later, they're buying a home wrecker. Oh, it died. Buying an Angry Bird and it died. It's the cycle you think is done, but it's still not an established tank. Far
no.
from
At least 8 months. You know, give it 8 months.
Yeah, I mean, I always said an established tank is 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I experimented with SPSs early on. I mean, where you couldn't keep anything alive. And I was keeping them alive because my tank was already 2 to 3 years old, and I kept my levels like clockwork. You know, but, you know, there were diseases that we didn't know about. I mean,
acrophytic flatworms, red bugs. We didn't even know about that stuff. We had them.
Oh, there's a lot more coming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There is a lot more than we know of. I mean, it's amazing how much more crap there is that we are introducing into our tank that we don't even know because we can't even see with our bare eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm learning this, you know, at Polo, where we have, you know, Alex the vet, and he's constantly looking and looking. We're seeing things on course like, holy mackerel, what the hell is that? You know,
it is scary stuff, man. But
and some of these cores are coming from like legitimate, you know, reefers.
Oh yeah. So we're all spreading this stuff around.
Yes, yeah, it's but you know, but then they also it tells you I think if you have a good old system with a good balance, you know, nature grows, you know.
Yes, I completely agree, man. That's stability and having stuff in balance and an established microbiome. That's a big part
that's
of it.
Yeah, that's it. And sponges, guys, if I'm going to give you one word of advice, grow sponges in your tank. Mm. If you grow sponges in your tanks, you'll win the war, you know, if there is one to be. You know, I tell you, the sponges in my tank is what I think saved my tank many times. And if it's yellowing compound, helping with yellowing compound and filtering the water, I don't use carbon. People tell me, what are you doing? How much carbon do you? I don't use carbon. You know, water is clear and it's all sponges. And that's also going to play a role in this. Studies that they're going on right now with this DOC and the water and all of that.
Yeah.
And it's part of the ocean. So if I was to recommend anything to anybody, Cryptic, you know, Tyree was on this many years ago before all of us, the Cryptic system.
I know. I just got rid of mine.
Put it back in there. Now, there is some negatives to that. I mean, you'll find somebody, you know, that will tell you, well, you know, it's doing this or it's doing that to your water. But I still believe that it's doing a lot more good than bad.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'll have to get into my I think I did a video on it, so I'll explain more later at a later date. But Joe, man, thank you, dude. This was awesome. Really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Where can people find you, man? I think I mentioned on Instagram, Tusi Coral Reef. You even got TusiCorals.com. Are you still using that website to sell corals?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I haven't updated it I have no time, you know.
So just find Joe on Instagram, reach out to him, and I'll help you somehow with the
Believe
corals.
It or not, I mean, I get reached out nowadays. I've been getting reached more on Instagram. I'm on Facebook as well, but I don't do Facebook much, you know, more, you know, Instagram than anything.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of Instagram, but I got a new iPhone and I haven't figured out over the last few months how to take good pictures and videos with it. So I haven't been posting anything on Instagram.
It's good. The iPhone is the best. I mean, all my videos and pictures, they're all the iPhones. I mean, I have a very expensive camera that I don't even know how to use. So I still go to the iPhone, and people don't believe it. So once you figure the camera on the iPhone, and there is a couple of apps that you could use as your camera on the iPhone, which is basically you could adjust anything like a camera.
Oh, what app would you recommend for the iPhone?
I've been using what the hell is it called? I have to look it up. It's a very good app.
So it's the app is actually the camera.
Correct. Which is basically you could adjust the color.
You don't need any filters?
The exposure.
No.
You don't need no filters. I mean, you'll use the orange filter because that will cut the blue light out. Yeah. Shoot, I can't even find it. Did I delete it? Because I just got a new iPhone. I think I think I'm missing.
All right, we'll have to find that out. I'll drop it in the video description.
Yeah, it's definitely the iPhone, especially if you have the latest one. That's even better than mine.
All right, man. Well, listen, Joe. Thank you again so much, and I hope I see you in Boston if you can.
In Boston in a month.
Yeah, in a month. So, anyway, folks, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank Joe for being on the live stream again. Always a pleasure talking to him. I also want to thank my sponsors one more time: Polo Reef. Make sure to check out Polo Reef's new YouTube video that drops this Friday, part two of the VIP behind the scenes walkthrough. Go deeper into the sub-basement where the filtration for the 17,000-gallon aquarium lives. Interesting topics along the way with a look at the total dissolved gas issues that was causing Popeye and some fish. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel at Polar Reef for the video drop notifications. Champion Lighting and Supply, besides being a place for hobbyists to purchase saltwater aquarium supplies online, Champion Lighting is also a wholesale distributor for many popular brands. If you own an aquarium store, an aquarium service company, contact Champion Lighting through their website at championlighting.com to set up a wholesale account. Polyb Lab is another supporter of this live stream. They do their part by being ecologically responsible, using less plastic and more recyclable material. ReefRoids is backed by science and uses 100% ocean-sourced ingredients. No filler, no OGM, no gimmick. Polyb Lab, straight results, the best choice for your marine collection. See the ReefRoids difference for yourself. A big thank you to Paul, who's also the moderator as well as the president of the Boston Reefer Society. Please join and support your local reefing clubs. They are so, so important to this hobby. All episodes of Rapid with Reef Bomb are available as podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Amazon. My next Rapid with Reef Bomb live stream will be on, I've got the wrong date here. I got to look at my calendar. October 8th. And who am I going to have on? I'm going to have on Phil from Polyb Lab on next week. So tune into that, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check out the full upcoming schedule of guests on reefbum.com under the YouTube section. Until then, be safe.